If you want to learn how to become calm like the Jedi Master Yoda, you need to listen to this next podcast.
Hello, brother. This is Jake Sanzano, host of Jake and Gino Podcast, here with my co-host, the multifamily mentor, the coach, the chef, the father, six, and best-selling author, G-Daddy. Gino Barber, Gino, how's it going?
Jake, I'm doing good today. Where are you holed up this morning?
I'm holed up in Knoxville, Tennessee. Where are you holed up?
So you're not Mr. Cheapo. Did you buy the new equipment that I told you to buy?
I bought the new equipment. I followed the G-Dad's, you know, words of wisdom here, and it seems to be working. Unlike yours, that is in place. So I'm winning today, and you are losing.
That's you're not winning. You're crushing me. I don't know what's going on in here. I thought I got everything set up. It looks great and all. And it's Murphy's Law, bro. If something's going to go wrong, it will go wrong when you open your big fat mouth. So words of the wise, don't make fun of your partner.
And the other thing is I couldn't hear myself, and then I found this button. Things lit up green, and shit is working. So we're winning, having a big, big morning so far. Very special guest today. Our guest today is the author of MindWorks, a practical guide for changing thoughts, beliefs, and emotions. Here we go, Gino. Here we go. His training brought him through transformation of fears, false beliefs, and consciousness. He's spent the last 20 years teaching others how to transform their thoughts, emotions, and beliefs that create suffering into a mind that creates happiness. Without further ado, Gary Van Warmerdam, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Jake and Gino. Thank you for having me here.
Hey, it is
what our pleasure. Can I do for you, gentlemen?
Well, we're gonna talk. I guess we're gonna go deep into feelings and emotions because Gino's here and he's excited today. But let's get to know each other a little bit first. Please share with us your background and a little bit how you got into business.
I grew up on a farm in California, and I went to college, mechanical engineering degree, ROTC in the Navy, drove aircraft carriers, got disillusioned and burned out in relationship at the time and career, and then realized I'm miserable. I'm unhappy. Had a long talk with somebody who pointed out, the central theme here is me. I'm the one making my life choices. I'm the one that's responsible for getting me here. And I stayed in a miserable relationship. I chose a career where I got burned out. I'm the one with the thoughts in my head and the negative stories. And, although the stories were all pointing, well, if my boss had done this and my girlfriend done that and, you know, them, you know, there were several fingers pointing back at me. And I'm like, oh my God, what's my half? And I realized my thinking and the decisions I was making internally were not working for me, not giving me the results I wanted. I said, I need to figure this out, what's going on in my head. And I need to change it because I want to be happy no matter what. And then very shortly after that commitment, I ended up with listening to a talk by my mentor, Miguel Ruiz, who wrote the best-selling books, Four Agreements, Mastery of Love, a number of books. And I studied with him for many years. Lots of travels, lots of intensive retreats, a lot of processing work and workshops. And then several years later, started teaching those processes, which have you look deeply inward. What are your emotions? What is your consciousness? What are your old beliefs? What's your old programming that has been buried in the subconscious that then has you doing things automatically you didn't know you were doing? And it's all, oh, that's normal kind of thinking. So that's what I've been teaching people how to change for the past 20 years.
I'm going to hold a book up for everybody. It's MindWorks. I would tell everyone to run out, buy the book. And you really, this is not a book where, Jake, you put on the Audible and you say, I'm going to listen to this book. You have to do this book. There's a lot of work involved. It's a heavy lift. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. But when you're working on yourself, it's truly, so worth. It's such an amazing book. Gary, can you just, maybe this might be a tough question to answer, but what do you believe is happiness? How does somebody achieve happiness? For me, before you answer, I think it's autonomy. If we have autonomy of our choices, if we can decide to do something and we have that decision-making ability and say, hey, I'd like to go on a vacation today and I don't have to, you know, answer anybody. Hey, I want to make this decision. I'm empowered to make the decision. It seems like people are in a much happier state that way. Well, how would you define happiness for somebody?
That's certainly going to help. That's going to be that sense of agency. I can create my external world to where I want. I can work today or not work today. Yeah, that freedom. But does one need that? No. Mm-hmm. Okay. I was teaching. Well, let me just say, I can sit here and be happy. I can go sit in the woods and have nothing. I can go camping, have almost nothing, and really feel a lot of joy inside. So let's talk about what's happiness. Mm-hmm. Joy inside that so much it's coming out. It's a feeling of flow. And it may be in some moments just a quiet, calm peace. Some love and happiness might be just exuberant laughter with friends. Okay, so there's a whole spectrum of that happiness. What is not happiness? What's suffering? Often it entails that negative voice in your head talking about the stuff you didn't get done, adding stress, the stuff you should do, that you're a failure and it's never going to work out. And now you feel miserable in that negative story when you're sitting there. Mm-hmm. So there's this internal thing. The external agency, can I go and do what I want today? Maybe part of it. But then on the internal, what's your inner world? Can I sit here, I'm thinking of, years ago, I was $25,000 in debt. I was in between jobs. It looked like crap on the outside. But I was just looking, I was in the city and I was looking around and I was like, I feel great. I feel great. And I just felt like I had done some work and I was like, I was excited about the future. I felt like I have control over my attention. I can change my internal narrative. I can create the beliefs I want. I was like, this is just so much possibility. And I was excited and grateful and I was happy. And I was $25,000 in debt. So there wasn't much I could go do. So there's two parts to that equation. What's your internal narrative and story and feeling? And then what's the external? And so ideally they match.
Okay. Love that.
Because you could, because a person could easily have all of that external success, massive wealth, doesn't have to work. And internally they're suicidal. The negative stories are so strong. They feel so worthless. So broke inside, they don't have enough, that their internal narrative is creating the emotional state of unworthiness and failure and suicidal thoughts. So, have both.
Let's talk about the belief bubble in the book, because maybe that belief bubble leads to that internal distress, or that, when you're talking about being happy on the exterior, everything's going great, but internally, I think the belief bubble really chunks it down. And, people don't even stop and challenge their own beliefs. And what is a belief bubble?
That's a way I describe your inner world. Your mind creates a map of who I think you guys are. I listened to your show a little bit. I was like, okay, got to know him. Like, and I know something from the things you've said. I was like, this is Jake, this is Gino. And I have my ideas and images.
What are they? Okay. Gino has this toy soldier problem. We know that.
Okay. And then we get on the show this morning and he says, hey, I want to go deep. I read your book. It's chock full. It's heavy stuff. I got a lot of questions. And I'm like, okay, he went deep into the book. I didn't have that picture. Okay. I got to throw out what I had developed from
this. Oh, he hits you with the deuce. He hits you with the curveball.
So basically, he's saying Gino's a loser. He's not prepared. He's a moron. He plays with toy soldiers and he's in middle age. Gotcha. I'm feeling the pain. I'm feeling the love, Gary.
I'm sorry. Okay, but I missed this set. So anyways, So already, you know, my,
and then he asked me and I'm like, no, I didn't read the book yet. I like the free ball.
That's good. You know? So, but anyways, and this happens all the time with anybody we meet, first impressions. Okay. What we think the deal is, what you think the business deal is. And you're like, oh no, now I have to go build a road. They're like, okay, whole picture changes. What you thought it was is not what it was. You know, what the market was, and now it's COVID. Now the world is something else. Okay, what your relationship was and the person you have a relationship, and then lo and behold, surprise, menopause or some other changes happen, they're now a different person. And so there's a mismatch between how you think a person is, how you think of yourself, and then maybe you discover something about yourself that, like, that doesn't match with who I thought I was, who I thought they were, who I thought the business, the deal, right? So all of our interactions in the world, ourselves, we create these ideas of what we think is going on, what we then believe is going on, and then reality shows up and go, crash that. That was just a bubble that you had built in your mind.
There's so many questions. I don't know how to follow up that, because there's so many things that pop in my mind. So how does the person, even once they read the book, what would you say to them? Go and look at all of your belief bubbles and start challenging them. Are they right? Are they true? And is a belief different than a thought? Where do we go from that belief bubble? What's the next step for the person?
Take your time. Commit to a long journey. It will unfold. Here's how I layer it. A lot of the thoughts, people think the thoughts create emotions. I structure it this way. The thoughts are often at the surface. Okay. Mm-hmm. The powerful thoughts are the ones that have a lot of emotion, the emotions underneath. But those emotions and thoughts, generally those things we feel inside, we're strong attachment to. Now we're noticing something deeper that's a belief. And beliefs are things that we generally don't notice. They're things that are producing the thoughts. They're producing the emotions. Okay. Mm-hmm. Beliefs often come from memory, early experiences in life, like something's locked in. We had a heartbreak. Okay. We didn't get the toy soldier. Okay. We had something that was a defining emotional experience. And now that whole perception is, okay, part that goes a little deeper, if it's really strong, if it happens, is a real visceral feeling in the body. Now it's in the nervous system. We feel it in our body. And that's when we get into kind of an attachment issues or trauma, really strong, impactful experiences. That now we're like, okay, I got to change how my body feels when that happens. When this person says this, when this person is angry with me and I want to just curl up in a ball, it's like, our whole programming is going back to, you know, automated response, a Pavlov's dog kind of response, mm-hmm. You know? And so we're looking at, okay, you want to change how you respond in those situations and go, well, I don't want to be afraid. I know they're not going to hit me. And what they really need right now is some comforting. They need support. They need reassurance. Let me be calm and engage them. Like, how do I shift out of withdrawing and being afraid and going, hey, I can see you're angry. And I'm sorry. It's like, okay, let's figure this out. Like, changing that world of how you feel everything in your body from one way to changing your tone of voice and how you speak emotionally, like, that will not happen in a day. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that depends on a person. It depends on the experiences and what kind of level change you want to make that kind of shift.
Wow. What is an archetype? And I want to list out all the archetypes for everybody, because I think that's an important place to start.
Well, I get into archetypes in the book because we have this internal narrative. We actually have many of them. And one of the things that's I look at is like, okay, take a deep dive inward. You want to change the way you feel about yourself. That's emotional. That's a belief system. And often starts like, well, what's the internal narrative? Let's look at the thoughts. And then recognize those thoughts are coming from parts of the mind. You know, we can talk about voices in our head. We all have voices in our head. Let's not like go crazy and think this is a terrible mental illness. Okay, this is normal to have voices in your head. Mm-hmm. Anytime anybody sits down to meditate, what happens? They hear all this chatter. Right? It's like, I'm going to be quiet. I'm going to sit. Why is all this chatter? Because we hear our mind talking. Okay. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have a reaction to that. A voice goes, oh, this is terrible and something's wrong with me. It's like, that's a voice in your head. That's like a panic voice. Common voice that we all know is the inner critic. I call it the judge. And the judge is the one that's, oh, you're not doing enough and blah, 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 blah. Okay. And then the other part might be a perfectionist. You know, we all have different ones in different intensities, right? I got to be this and I got to be that. And I got to get the right equipment. And how does my hair look or whatever? But these different parts of our personality, not just the voices in the head, they might be the way that we interact in the world. We're like, oh, we have an overdeveloped pleaser and we got to try and make everybody happy. Okay. Or we've got to like be the hero and like, I got to fix everything. That's wrong. I got to fix it. Right. We all want to jump in and help. Right. So we have these parts of our personality that often have served us very well, but we over patterns and repetitions think, well, that served me really well. I'm going to do more of it, more of it, more of it. I got good grades and I got praised for it. So I'm going to work harder and I got good grades. I got praised for it. I'm going to work harder. And so we develop like this achiever personality that's always looking for approval from other people and getting a positive affirmation, right? So who's the overachiever within our own personality? And so if you want to take a deep dive of like personal change, one of the things is become aware of these different parts of your personality, whether they show up in the internal narrative of thoughts or they show up in your behavior. And I call these your characters, your sub-personalities. And there's six major ones I mentioned in the book that cause the drama and suffering in our life.
The six in the book, everybody, and I want to really lay them out and see who you are and who you resonate with. It's the judge. It's the victim. The pleaser, the fixer, the princess, Jake, princess, and the villain.
Gino is definitely the princess, and I'm the fixer.
And Gary, when you're looking at the archetypes, can we be all of them? I mean, is that what it is? I mean, everyone has a little piece of each one of those. One day I feel like the judge, and one day I feel like the victim. Oh, woe is me, and everything's going wrong with me.
These are all part of our programming. We've all learned to play, feel, embody, think thoughts from all of these. Mm-hmm. Okay. And sometimes we can do multiple versions at once. We go, oh, that was so stupid of me. Right. So we have this condemning voice about ourselves, which is the judge. And we have another part that's agreeing. Yeah, that was stupid of me. I'm a stupid idiot. And that's the victim accepting the narration story of the judge and believing I am a stupid idiot. And what is that? Okay, we've just victimized ourselves in that narrative story. And now how do we feel? We feel crappy because we've believed in this bubble, this narrative story, we are both of these. When in fact, if we kind of get conscious, we watch our mind, and this is the awareness process. You kind of start the inventory. It's like, oh, this is a story you would do in a character, and this is a character in a story, and I'm not either of those. Well, now we can watch the thought and kind of go, those two are having a conversation that I don't want to be a part of. Right. And that's what happens is you start to get consciously aware of these stories your mind plays on you. Yeah, starts to change.
Gino, hang on a second then. Were you the victim early on then, Gary? And what caused those thoughts that you had? Because it sounds like early on you were heavy victim. You're weighted in the victim side of things, potentially, based on what you said earlier. And what caused those victim thoughts early on in your life when you were unhappy?
Are you asking me?
I'm asking you directly, yes.
What caused the victim thoughts?
So early on, it sounded like you were saying you were struggling with a lot of victim type thoughts and you were unhappy. Oh. And I may have misheard you, but it sounded like that's the vibe I got from what you were saying. So if that is the case, or if that was the case, what caused those? So like what was producing those types of thoughts and feelings? If I'm correct.
Yeah, you're correct.
Yeah.
Have to go back to 30 years when I left the Navy.
Yeah. It was the Navy's fault. See, he's a victim again, Gino.
It's interesting. You know, there's what I said and there's what you heard.
Yeah.
You know, I said when I left the Navy and you said, it's the Navy's fault. That's not what I said.
Well, you said when I was there. So I was tying the two together, just being a smart ass. But yes.
But at the time, I felt it was the Navy's fault. I was in the narrative story. No, this is what's the difference between what my belief bubble was, believing it's the Navy's fault, yes, believing it's my girlfriend's fault, why I'm miserable and I'm not getting what I want and I'm not getting recognition and I'm not getting, you know, XYZ. And here's my belief bubble that I came back later. It's like, there's A, what my expectations were of what I thought I would get out of the Navy, how the career would go, what life would be like. And then there was the reality of how the Navy was. Okay. And they didn't match. So here I have my expectations of my belief bubble and then reality. And that difference generally creates emotion of disappointment.
And there was no acceptance there, it sounds like, right? You weren't accepting what was, and that caused the friction and the victimhood potentially.
Correct.
Yes?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. There's another piece, right? There's another part of it. It was also not just, okay, I could have been accepting of it and says, oh, this is the reality of how it is. That would have helped eliminate the story of causing me suffering. That would have changed the internal. But then there was still the external of like, I'm not enjoying this. I'm not getting enough sleep. I'm exhausted. You know, it would be very difficult to be happy in that circumstance running at that level. I was working 80 hours a week and sleeping 4 hours a night a lot of times and things like that. So then it's like, well, that's a factor as well. So then there was, but my internal stories was, yeah, I was not accepting my expectations were mismatched to reality. Okay. So I was getting frustrated and disappointed and building up resentments.
So you're building up the resentments, but then what then? Because as you're going through this transformation, so you weren't accepting what was. And then at some point, maybe you did, or you learned to accept this is what it was, and that was during your training.
No. Then I left the Navy, and I had to kind of sort out what happened.
So maybe you did though accept some at that point, and then you realized I needed to get out of this environment. Is that
correct? Correct. Oh yeah, I was pretty accepting. I'm a very agreeable in my personality trait. So it wasn't like I was walking around with rage or resentment. I was just like, but I had stories of frustration. But then there was also just a dissatisfaction with the environment. It's like, this does not work for me.
Gotcha. A couple quick points. Number one, you say in the book, when our belief systems, inner world, and the real world of physical reality are congruent, we operate pretty well. So you were describing that when they close together, they work pretty well. Last question before we go to the performance questions. What's the easiest way to change the beliefs, your beliefs? How do you go about by starting to change your beliefs?
There's a couple steps in that process that I use. For individual clients, I might do things differently and faster in different ways. I get different tools. But in the book, the first thing you have to do is this separation, create a gap between the characters that you're of the judge, say, and the victim in this case. I'm such a stupid idiot, right? And you have to have a gap because if you're in the story as a character, it's like you're hypnotizing yourself. If you've ever seen a hypnotist, you know, you can see somebody talked into the story that they're a chicken and they behave a chicken. They feel like a chicken. They are convinced they're a chicken. They'll tell you they're a chicken. That's what's happening in our internal narrative, particularly with the repetition that happens. I'm victimized. This is terrible. What's happening to me. And I'm such a stupid idiot. Okay. I, me, me, me. We're so identified in the hypnosis, right? But if you watched that story, if you watch somebody tell that story to themselves that they do internally, if you watch somebody on stage do it, you were like, you would either laugh because it's ridiculous, or you would think, well, this is sad that they're doing this to themselves, or they're hypnotizing somebody this way, right? And so your frame changes, and now you can disbelieve the story. That gap, what I could say, move into conscious awareness, a perspective of neutral observer, and have that gap and see the story as if it's happening, say, amongst your internal characters or happening to a separate person. Now you can kind of go, I'm not going to believe that. That'll just put me in hell. Right. So that gap is what then gives you the choice to choose to believe or not believe, or at least begins to have doubt and skepticism.
So okay? Looking at
and
it
from so the- that awareness sometimes is enough.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes you need some other steps.
Okay. Looking at it from the third person that you're talking about in the book, adopting observer perspective, correct?
Big time. Big time.
I love that. Thank you.
You know, and then sometimes that's not enough, because let's say there's these beliefs are a system very often, and there's a matter of, okay, so very often people want to get rid of, like, okay, I want to get rid of this internal critic, the narrative of the judge in my head that's beating me up. Well, when you go to do that, there's this other voice that says, no, that's what motivates us. That guy kicking in me all the time and beating me up is my motivation. And if I don't have him, then I'll just be a slug on the couch and I won't do anything. And so you find out sometimes there's a belief system of the judge we want to get rid of, but there's another belief that says, well, no, we need it. So now we have to, like, well, let's deal with that. Does this really have to be my source of motivation? Okay. And then we start to break up. It's like, no, we can motivate ourselves, and we actually might be inspired about other things and motivated by something that's other than this abusive relationship with this inner critic. So one step is often not enough for the more complex ones and deeper ones. There's other parts that need to go be addressed as well, that kind of pull us back in.
All right, gang, let's take a quick time out here from our sponsor.
A question, Gino, and I get a lot is, what's a great value add?
You've just closed a deal and you're looking for a way to maximize the attractiveness of your complex to potential renters.
At Rand Property Management, we start at the bottom. Literally, we start with the flooring.
And that means we start with a call to Christian Chapman and his team at David's Abbey Carpet and Flooring. No one wants to deal with the expense and hassle of putting in new floors, and that is exactly why we turn to David's Abbey.
David's Abbey Carpet and Flooring provides a quality, long-lasting product at a great price. The wear layer and waterproofing that comes standard with all David Abbey products will ensure you are on solid ground for years to come.
My favorite part of working with Christian and his team is convenience. David's Abbey will direct ship their product anywhere in the U.S., That's white glove service, folks.
And your installation team will love how easy it is to install. The next time that you're looking for a great value add, give our friends at David's Abbey Carpet and Flooring a call and speak with Christian.
Or click the link in the show notes to visit their website today.
All right, we're back. So when you got the judge beating you up and you're afraid to kill him, what do?
You're afraid to kill him.
Call Jake. Jake will kill him for you, right?
For a small fee.
Well, now you have, like, okay, here's a separate belief, because now you've just added a third. Here's the internal critic. It's beating me up. I want to get rid of it. But if I get rid of it, I'll lose all motivation, says the second belief. So now, and then I'll be a slug on a couch. I'm afraid of being a slug on the couch doing nothing. So now here's a third belief, which is I'm afraid of being a slug on the couch, right? So now we're talking, like, literally three different narrative stories.
I think it's easier, right? Just to go through life not thinking.
It's tiring, man. I'm tired listening to this. No wonder why people are exhausted and stressed out and can't do anything there, and they're paralyzed with fear because you have so many internal dialogues going on. You don't know who to listen to. You don't know what to do. There comes a point in your life when you just become desperate. You say, I need change. How do I get change? And that's when you pick up the book Mind Works and say, I need help, because I might not be the only person going through this crap. When you look around the world,
it's an abusive relationship with yourself, Gino, because you got the psycho coach that needs to be put down, but then the abuser is afraid to kill him. And he's about to tell us the solution here.
You know, here's when you get enough awareness and you step back and you start watching this cast of characters do their stories, right? You start watching the one. Here's where some of the magic happens. You think this is a huge problem, and how do I solve this one? And I can't solve this one because this shows up, and I can't get rid of this because I need the motivation, but I'm afraid to get, you know. And you're like, I got three, and this all seems confusing, right? Well, then let's step back from the confused character. And what I'll take somebody through is, let's imagine all of these characters, when you start writing them out, you're doing an inventory. Imagine they're all on stage and they're all talking to each other. And all this show is going on. And you watch the mind show that your storytellers, characters are doing on stage as if it's a show. And you sit back in the audience, you know, midway, halfway back. And you get to a point of awareness, you say, it's all over there. Now.
Oh, you kill them all.
No, you don't kill them all. That's what the villain would like to do, but the villain generally...
Man, my villain's right? Rushing hard right now.
Yeah, the villain would like to do that, but you don't have to do anything. Here's kind of part of the secret sauce at a certain point. You don't have to do anything. The important thing is you don't play with them.
You shut the door.
That's generally
denial.
You put
an ozone machine there and you suck them to death.
That's a generally denial. Okay, they're not there. I'm going to ignore them. I don't want to believe that that's happening, you know. And then they tend to come around in the unconscious and show up in other areas in your life because there are still forces acting inside of you, right? No, that doesn't get you free either. But if you're aware that they're there, stay out of the identification with them, okay? And just watch them. You're like, okay, you're over there. You want me to believe this, but I don't believe this. That's kind of ridiculous. And I'm going to go on with my life. You have that gap that you can live in conscious awareness, right? That's the thing. It's like, it's not a problem you have to go solve. It's a bit of quicksand you just need to avoid. And that's one way to work with it, okay? Because what happens is, you know, that quicksand, in a way, it's like, that's over there. But if I jump in, and I'm the villain and I got to kill all these guys, I'm played in their game.
Maybe you're just, maybe just the cop.
No, you really want to be more the, in the theater of it, you more want to be the director.
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. The actors and characters are on stage and you want to sit back and you're like, this is the show I've got going in my mind. How do I want to change the story? Okay. Do I even want to be in this? Do I want to, and you want to be the screenwriter or the playwright? It's like, how do I want to rewrite this script? Okay. If you go in and you rush to try and fix it, it's because you said, this is wrong. This is bad. This is terrible. I hate this. Right? What is that? This is wrong. Judgment. I hate this, victimization. I got to get rid of these guys, villain. You're starting to play in their game because you're reacting to what's going on in there. So again, most of these approaches is why you end up not really changing it, because you've fallen back into playing one of the characters about the show you're in.
So I'm going to give you the solution. You go Yoda, you go, and let them go about their day, and you do you. That's what I think we're getting at here, right?
That's part of it. That's part of it.
Close, Gino.
Yeah, no. But then there's other stuff you can go in and you can like, okay. That will work. To see them and not believe them over time, they will slowly dissipate. And that will work for some people. sometimes.
So okay? What does Jake need then?
He doesn't have enough time for that today, you know.
For some people, it's a deeper dive. Okay. For some people, it's a deeper dive. Client, and you know, particularly if there's trauma in the history. Okay. And it was a very strong emotional experience, fight or flight situation. You need to go reset their nervous system. And sometimes that's going back like to the memory of when it happened. And it takes like, okay, what happened in that moment? What did you experience in that moment? And how can we take that energy that's locked up in there, the fear, for instance, okay, and unwind it, okay? Take the fear out of the situation. Example, a client of mine, he remembers being in second grade. He's in Catholic school. The teacher is shaming him at the board because he's kind of freezing up and doesn't know his timetables, right? And he's feeling this kind of panicked, this shame, right? And develops this identity. This is who I am, and I don't know the answer, and I'm going to freeze up. And his brain stops working because it's in a fight or flight mode. Okay. Years later, he's a computer programmer. Okay. He's working high level stuff. He's got clients calling him up to troubleshoot stuff, and the hospital administration is down and they can't access the records. Right. And he finds that same feeling. He's being asked a question he can't answer. And he brain freezes up. He's no longer operating at the high level capability as a computer expert he is, because his mind has gone to, this feels like I'm in second grade. I don't know my times tables. I'm ashamed. All these people are watching. I'm a terrible failure, right? So this is where your mind is associated to having to go back. It's like, okay, he wants to fix his panic freeze when the, you know, a high value client calls, but it's like, that's just triggering. Here I am 8 years old and I'm afraid. It's like, we've got to go unwind the energy of when he was 8 years old and kind of, so we'll go back in time and work with him. Who is this character that's in his subconscious with this feeling, with this emotion, with this tightness in his body? Let's get that released. Okay. So he can help this hospital client get their medical records. So sometimes it's a deep dive, and it's a couple sessions or it's one session, depending on their skill level of working with that much emotion.
You've seen Inside Out, right?
Oh, the Disney movie, the cartoon.
Yeah.
Yes. Excellent.
It's starting to feel a lot like Inside Out, Gino. You've seen that one, yeah?
I haven't. I'm sorry.
Sadness and all that.
I haven't. No, sorry.
Oh man, it's all the like different emotions bottled up in this little kid and shown how it affects them, you know, throughout the years of moving and all this stuff. It was pretty cool, actually. Yeah.
It's very, very good insight into the emotions, the unconscious. They've got great stuff in there.
Yeah, this is what it was reminding me of. So, you know, we got a bunch of little kids here at the house. So we watch these. You mentioned like meditation and things, you know, earlier on and how that could be going. Any best practices on meditation or spirituality practices that can help, you know, maybe give people some relief?
I just did one for the group in my community. It's posted. I'm starting to do a series on energy training. And so, yeah, there's a very calming meditation that I just did. And it's a body awareness scan with the relaxation breathing. Because one of the fundamental things people need to do is they need to relax their nervous system, get their body relaxed. That's going to change which part of their brain can now function. Because if your body is tense, you're under stress, the fight or flight, amygdala part of your brain is more primal, puts you kind of in an attack and defend mode, say in a conversation or with your partner, or with your kids, with a client, business deal. Right. And the more that you can relax your whole body, be aware in your body, relaxed in your body, the more that you can use the executive function part of your brain and come up with more creative solutions, look at things different ways, change your tone of voice. You end up having that agency you spoke of earlier, Gino, where you're like, oh, I want to go do this. Well, you can do something different in the conversation. Okay. So, relaxation breathing, and that can be guided with, you know, the length of the exhale, whether you're breathing through your nose, where your attention is in your body, things like that, all help.
Very cool. Besides MindWorks, anything that you'd like to recommend the folks to read, anything that's added value to your life in the past few years?
In big picture of my life, Miguel Ruiz's work, his book, The Four Agreements, The Fifth Agreement, The Mastery of Love. Atomic Habits, I thought was really good, because knowing, managing expectations, how much change can you make in a day?
I struggle with that so bad. Everything should take 2 minutes, and when it doesn't, it pisses me off.
Well, it sounds like your belief system is not matching reality.
It's not. No, it's 100% not.
Well, do you want to change reality? Do you want to change your belief system?
Reality.
Okay. Yeah, that's what the belief system says.
You see what I'm working with, yeah, Gary?
How's that working for you?
Honestly, pretty fucking good. Maybe not internal, but like, you know, I'm getting results. So it's like, you know, don't kill the motivator, right?
No, we wouldn't want to do that. That would be terrible. I'm just going to be a lump on the couch. Let's live in fear of killing the motivator, but live in fear of the motivator at the same time. Good, good. That sounds all like a really good use of energy.
He says I'm chasing my tail, Gino.
Love that.
You're on a roll there with Atomic Habits. Anything else, sir?
You know, I'm not as far as I read, you know, but I'm exploring, you know, dopamine, physiology, diet. I mean, all of this is having the proper resources in your body, you know, your brain, your nervous system. I listened to Andrew Huberman, somewhat his great podcast, you know, it's neuroscientist. And where's your dopamine level? How do you manage that? Okay.
Any tips for that, like that with the dopamine?
Well, just basically like when I'm working with clients, well, there's one that's a little rough, is like cold water immersion or cold showers, 3 to 5 minutes, a few times a week, that I've done off and on in the past, but I've kind of decided, yeah, I'm going to do this regularly. So I was like, whoa.
You seeing the benefits?
You know, that's the funny thing. Sometimes it's hard to see, right? I certainly know that when I've had the cold water on, like this morning,
cold. Oh, this sucks.
For like, I'm awake. I'm ready to go. But yeah, I see the benefits. But I think like Atomic Habits, you know, what I'm going to see over the course of the year, I think will be a lot more revealing. Okay. So, but with that, things like diet, eating a clean diet, having the proper energy and nutrients and resources so that my brain and focus is better, intermittent fasting, you know, trying to eat in about an 8-hour window, what I eat and food combining, so I'm not combining, say, starches and proteins so that I have a better energy level consistently throughout the day and focus. So, you know, when I take on a new client, the first things I want to know is like, okay, how's their sleep? What kind of rest are they getting? What's their diet? What's their exercise? You know, if they are doing that, that's a good sign. Usually though, there's something off, and then there's sugar, they're drinking sugary drinks or things like that. It's like, that's hard to do the inner work and clean up the other things.
I'm going to challenge you on these cold showers. And
I understand.
Know, I have the evidence-based proof on the hot shower. I haven't personally exposed myself to the cold shower because I hate it. But
the evidence-based proof is, for you, it feels good.
Number one, it feels good. Yeah. Number two, it unlocks my brain like nothing else ever has in my entire life.
The warm shower.
Unbelievably so. I'm not even messing around right now. Okay. I get more ideas and quality ideas rushing to my brain when I take these really hot showers, especially around 10 or 11 o'clock in the day, in the morning. And then I immediately pick up the phone and call Gino. I got our next idea. It happens like clockwork. Okay. And yeah, I'm just saying it's been proven over time now that it expands my mind, and it is the best use of my shower time. So maybe I could add in a cold plunge later in the day and see what that does. But I know there's proof in the hot shower, and I'm just going to start a podcast called The Hot Shower. We're done with this one, Gino. I'm going off on it, and I'm going to start the book, The Hot Shower. Screw the cold. Hey, it doesn't have to be one or the other, okay? It can be both, but we're stick with the hot.
Stick with the hot. There's real creative value in it. I do I do good thinking in the showers. So it's like, okay, what am I be doing? And so there's purpose for the warm shower. There's purpose for the cold shower.
Yeah.
You know, and so they have completely separate functions.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I'm not giving up the hot shower though. Maybe need to add the cold, but not abandoning the hot.
I'm not abandoning the hot shower either. You know, after I do the cold, I'm turning on the hot. You're like, okay, yeah, I got my dopamine kick, and now I want to do some creative thinking. Okay.
What's the best way for folks to get a hold of you?
Pathwaytohappiness.com is the website. And then from there, we've got a whole community where I'm posting and doing my courses. They can do a deeper dive if they want the whole audio. Well, it's a little more involved than the book. It's a whole online course, videos, audios, practices in the community for what I call the self-mastery course, which is like, okay, you want to need to resolve what's going on in your belief system, the stories in your head, the behaviors. Here's how we're going to step-by-step do the inventory in a manageable way, do this practice, get this skill, get the separation from these characters in the first few exercises, and then start to look a little deeper. What are they about? What are they afraid of? Why are they so attached to it? And you can start to dissolve a lot of the emotion that's in them. So they stop taking for unnecessary emotional rides and self-sabotage. So that's a step-by-step course. Through my website.
Gino, the minute I heard Pathway to Happiness, I thought, wow, AC/DC's next song. It could be the alternative to Highway to Hell. We're going to get him off the cold showers, onto the hot showers, and we're going to get his like walkout song for when he comes out on stage for the Pathway to Happiness. But it may be more of like a Jack Johnson. It may not be as aggressive as AC/DC. So I don't know. Gino, it's all you. Take us home.
Jake, when I was a little boy playing with toy soldiers, Gary decided he wanted to join the Navy and actually go into the real military, become ROTC. And I mean, it sounds like a really cool thing to be driving aircraft carriers. But when you're working 80 hours a week and not getting the proper diet and not getting the proper nutrition and burning yourself out, you say to yourself, man, my job sucks. I hate this. My little belief bubble is I'm stuck here. This is not for me. It's the Navy's fault. What am I doing here? My girlfriend, it's all her fault. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you say, I'm the responsible for all my thoughts. And it's been a really long journey finding Miguel Ruiz as one of his mentors and becoming conscious and becoming aware of what makes him happy, of exploring the belief bubbles, of exploring conscious thought, of becoming that third person when you have all those different archetypes, when you have those different voices in your head that are talking to you and you think you're crazy when in reality, everyone has that same thing going on. But just being able to extract yourself from that conversation and look as that third party and say, it's okay. It's been an honor to have Gary on here. I've really enjoyed the conversation tremendously. And once again, don't go listen to AC/DC. Go visit Pathway to Happiness. Okay, everybody.
Man, he's on a pathway to happiness.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Fantastic.
Great to be here. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, Gary.